Good morning. Hello, my name is Dara. I worship in this church. Welcome, friend. I'm very glad to share with you, but before that, I just want to say that this morning, again, I was voted best mum of the year. Thank you. I got the award again, not just best mum of the year, best mum in the world. So, but happy Mother's Day to all of you. What was I gonna say? I have forgotten. Yeah, because it's such a day. But anyway, I'm going to share with you today, my story. And, then after that, I'm going to share 3 points with you from the Paul in Athens passage that, Carrie, I was going to call you Jerry. Sorry. That Carrie read for us today. And these 3 points I want to gift to you. Actually, it's not my gift. It comes from the Lord, really. I'm just taking that gift from his hands and I'm passing it on to you. These 3 points to add to your joy and your delight. And I hope it inspires your worship of God. Okay? So that's the plan. Let's try and stick with that. Now, idol worship. I grew up in a house of idols. You know, both sides of my grandparents, they worship idols in little shrines, you know, with an urn for incense. You know, it's very typical of Chinese ancestral worship or, you know, any kind. So it's really just a mishmash of superstitions, religiosity, Chinese mythology and that. So when I come across this passage, I say, oh my goodness, this Paul in Athens unknown God story has a special place in my heart. I can relate to that. And so I'm very glad to share with you from my life. And I can remember very vividly, you know, so I didn't know God. I can remember vividly that moment when the first idea of a God came into my life. So it was this is in Singapore, it's tropical heat, the classroom fan was going woo at speed one, and then it's Chinese lesson, Mandarin lesson, and it always starts with a story. And in this story, it was about a group of villagers and how devout they were in worshipping a figure made out of wood. And then along one day came the protagonist to challenge their devotion and says, why do you worship a god who cannot even protect itself? The villagers were horrified. And to illustrate his point, this protagonist went on to break the wooden arm of the figure. I couldn't remember how that story ended, but the point is, at 10 years old, I said to myself, yes, I will never ever be so ignorant as to worship or even invest a moment of my life to a dead God. My first concept of God at 10 years old. God will be a living God. And then 2 years later, I would come to actually know the story of God, a God who would send his son Jesus to pay the ultimate price for my sin so that I can be forgiven and then I can enjoy a relationship and be spared with God and then be spared eternal death. And I said to myself, yes, only a really powerful God will dare and can address sin head on and can actually have a plan as such and sacrifice to that level for me and for the rest of the world. I said, yes, actually, this God is pretty amazing. So I said yes to all those ideas. I said, yes. That's 12 years old. But then you would think that, oh, I would have given my life to, you know, the faith. But no, I didn't. It would take another like 15 years before I guess was moved. I was moved. I was moved by this heavenly love that is sent down for me when I didn't even know who God is. I was very moved, but it was not until 15 years later that I would say, yes, yes, I'm ready. Jesus, I want you. And I was baptized in my mid-20s. Okay, so that's my story. And it is through Jesus that I came to know God. And so this unknown God was made known to me. And it's nothing that I did. It was what we read today, that God wants us perhaps to be able to find him. So similarly, God, in his wisdom and in his perfect timing, has revealed himself to you and will continue to reveal himself to you. And now, I want to extract from the Acts passage the proclamation that Paul made, and I want to gift it to you. Okay? So as I said, I hope it will add to your joy and your worship. So what does Paul tell us? Paul tells us many things, but I'm just going to take out 3 points. One, God is sovereign. And this is the time when you say, amen! All right? But it's okay. We have 2 other points and you can try it out just for fun, if not. 2, Paul tells us that God is our salvation.
Amen.
Yes. And then the 3rd point. Now this point, be really careful because some of you may still be kind of, you know, working through that one. It says, Paul tells us, God is judge and he's coming.
Amen.
All right. So how do these 3 points add to our joy and inspire worship? I must have said this before. I say the more we find out about God, the more there is about God to worship. I think it should be heading that trajectory, but that's just me. So I want to read verse 24 again because I love it. So please indulge me. I'll read it again. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and he does not live in temples built by human hands. He is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Wow, hallelujah. Our God is sovereign. He's creator God. Everything is subject to him. Everything, the last time I checked, means everything. And God means, what does sovereignty mean? I'm thinking, okay, what does it mean? What does it mean, people? It means God has ultimate power. Ultimate. And what I also love about this sovereignty is that God in himself is sufficient. If we ever think that, oh God, I'm doing this for you, think again. If you are dragging your feet like, ugh, so much to do for God in church, think again. You know? God is sufficient in himself. He doesn't need anything. In fact, he is the life giver. The next breath I take is because God, please allow it. Because God allows it. He's my life giver. I live because he gave me life. And today, I lack nothing because a sovereign God who loves me has given me everything that I need. And if there's anything I think I need, actually, I can talk to him about it. That God is very sovereign. Is there something today in your life that causes you to worry? Maybe you're fretting already. Is there somebody you're so praying for and then you're a little bit perplexed about the situation? I want to say to you and I want to gift to you that God is sovereign. Take it to him. He can handle it. He's got it. He says to us, don't worry, and he means it. He wants you to take him at his word. He is God. That's why we come and worship him. Yeah? Don't worry, there's nothing God cannot do. Second point. God is our salvation. We know that, right? But what does it really mean? It means salvation comes from God alone, and God alone delivers it and completes it. Everything started with him. He delivered it, and he completes it, and he gives this marvelous gift, and he says, yours. You didn't ask for it. Did you ask for it? I don't know. I didn't. It was done even before I existed. That is so good. And I say, yes, only a real God would do that. Only, I think to me, only a real God will do that. So what do we only have to do is to respond to this gift, you know? And as much as God is sovereign, he's not going to make you believe it. He's done it. He's gifted it to you. Respond to it. And he doesn't leave you alone to respond to it. We read today again, he sent the Holy Spirit, who is always at work in the lives of people, revealing to them, just as I believe the Holy Spirit did when I was 10 years old, through a story, totally unrelated. I was just going to school, as 10-year-olds do. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is at work always through a story, through a person, an incident, maybe even an illness, you know, or some sadness, but always revealing. And if it has been revealed to you and you know it, respond to it. If you don't respond to it, you have already responded. Got that? So, God is our salvation. Hallelujah. He delivers it to us. We only have to respond, and this is the God we serve. It is his irresistible grace. It pleasures him to do so because he's God. I love that. This is our God. Third point, okay? I say, God is judge, and we read today, the day is set. It is coming. He is coming. All right? And we said, amen to that. And then you say, wait a minute. How is that delightful? How is that delightful? Paul says, for God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and this man is Jesus. One day, and that day is set. God will return. And to appreciate God coming as judge to right the wrong, we need to first appreciate the offensiveness of sin and its destruction, and how a holy God will not tolerate sin, just as you will not tolerate a glass of water with like 1/10 of a drop of a cyanide, right? Because it destroys, it leads to death. He won't have it. And looking at the world we live in today, actually, it's not too difficult to see the harm we do to ourselves, isn't it? We look at the world today, and even as in human thinking, we say to ourselves, oh, this is wrong. Oh, this has got to be made right. You know, how can we do it? We hope that it can be right. One day, God is returning to set things right. And from now until that set day, it's a time of grace for people to respond. Respond. This is a time of grace. I don't know when that set day is, but as long as you have that day of grace, I pray for some people in my life to respond. I pray that I don't lose my faith. You know, because God is going to come. Now, the good news bit. The good news for believers is that when God comes and judge, he also says that this judgment will be based on your relationship with Jesus. He says that I didn't lie to you. He says he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. So there is that. Jesus is in the picture. As I said earlier, I'm so touched by this heavenly love sent for me, you know, that Jesus would be punished because I sinned. And then, of course, we know that when we sin, it leads to death. Jesus died for me. And then it's not that, just that. When it's all completed, God says, I, being the sovereign God, has the power to raise him alive. Wow, hallelujah, because it can't just be that, right? You can't just leave Jesus and die for my sins, period. No, he's risen from the dead. He lives, my God lives, he's alive. And that is important. That's the reason we come to church. We worship a risen God. So when God comes as judge, I say to you, he will see you as blood-bought people. You are his offspring. When the judge comes, he sees you and me, and when we stand before him, he sees Christ's blood upon us. And that's his grace. I know it's a bloody scene, but what I'm just trying to say is, he sees God's grace all over us because we said, yes, Jesus, I have sinned. You died for me. I need your forgiveness. We are forgiven. Your sins from the past, present, and future, all forgiven. Isn't that a great reason to worship the Lord? I say hallelujah and amen to that. And so that's the good news. The judge is coming. The day is set. Your sins are forgiven. You are redeemed. And when Christ comes, he will see that, you know what? Your salvation is assured. Is assured. Absolutely. And that, again, is the grace of God. The irresistible grace of God. When I woke up today and if I chose to make breakfast for my family, it's because it pleasures me. You know, it's not because they have to earn it, you know. It pleasures me to gift them breakfast. It's purely out of grace. And I'm a fallen human. You know, how much, you know, our God is really a gracious, gracious God. And it's praise to God. So those 3 points. God is sovereign. He is our salvation. He is judge. Tells me my God is so big, so strong, so mighty, so alive. He's so good. And you know what? He's coming again. It just fills up my spiritual battery. It reminds me again. That's the reason I come to church, to worship God. And of course, to meet you. You know? And I hope that these 3 points will stay with you. All right? God is sovereign. Go to him. God is our salvation. Remember that. You are blood bought. Your salvation is assured, guaranteed, 100% stamp. Done. And he's coming as judge. What do? Pray. He is in control. Nothing falls out of his hand. Doing nothing. So I leave you with that. We should not think that God is like an image made out of gold or stone or wood or whatever. He's not an image made by human hands. So don't treat God as one. Thank you and amen. Amen.